And people do produce content like crazy. There's, you know, a billion web users, and how many billions of web pages, and a lot of those are open educational resources. The consideration of the community is key, but understanding the type of community that will foster the development of open resources is critical. We have to see not just a mechanism, not just a big machine. You pump money in one side, note pops open resources on the other side. We have to see a model of production, of use, of distribution, where the existing structures are decentralized. Right now, we're working in a world where the models that we have implicitly, sometimes through funding and other times explicitly through our declarations and actions, are centralized, financially oriented, hierarchical, managed. And this type of organization often constitutes a set of barriers preventing the distribution of open educational resources. So I was, you know, asked to come here and talk about sustainability of resources, and I was hesitant to do it because I thought, well, you want me to contribute to these mechanisms that are actually blocking the creation and distribution of open educational resources. I wasn't sure I wanted to do that. Barriers. Who gets funded? You look at who gets funded. It's always the institution. It's you know, at the manager or the higher level. I shouldn't say always. That's not completely true, but you know what I mean. Typically, it's the institution that gets funded. But the institution is very often the organization or entity that's telling its members or individuals not to be producing these resources. The scale of funding, the large scale, the large centralized project, and I speak from very direct personal experience on that, you know, $1 million project. And I look at the initiatives that are actually producing things of value. And the top of my mind right now is a resource called ELGG. It's a small scale, non-institutional, and can't get even the minimal level of funding that it wants. And yet, there are millions of dollars available for these large-scale projects that hire teams of developers. And it's just backwards. The type of project where there's much emphasis on the production, much emphasis on what is in a way euphemistically called quality control, as opposed to projects that are decentralized, that are consumer focused, that allow people to create rather than simply read. Even things like licensing, and I could go on for a long time about licensing, but for the sake of everyone in the room that I won't, but requirements and constraints and restrictions are imposed that make it hard for small organizations or individuals or communities to produce materials. I mean, in a self-formed group that collects around Wikipedia or eBay, which is odd to me, but you know, they don't care about licensing, and they don't want to have to worry about attributions and authorship and all of that. They just want to produce resources. Justification, quality. The whole idea that it's necessary to come and prove in some kind of measurable way that the resource being produced is having an impact adds a huge cost to the production of that thing. And my own experience, and you know, I try to do open stuff, and I find myself spending as much time defending the work that I'm doing from you know, the skeptics and the critics is actually producing the work. And you know, in that kind of situation, particularly as it goes on year after year after year, because the justifications never end, it becomes very tiring. And for people who are volunteers, they sort of say, well, why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm doing this. The people who are supposed to be funding it and supporting it, they express skepticism. They don't believe it has any value. I know it has value because I see the community, but you can't measure that. You can't measure a conversation. Well, you can, but think about what it costs to do that. Even the narrow view of sustainable, and you know, again, I come back to the previous presentation, and the idea that, yeah, if we have some kind of financial mechanism, And, you know, I'm sort of tempted, I won't exactly say this, I'm sort of tempted to say, you know, people who are producing open educational resources don't want the money. You know, that's not true, though. I know they do, but they don't want the millions of dollars. But they don't want what they are doing to be defined in commercial terms, because it changes the very nature of what they are trying to do. And then finally, I've put down access and control. My experience, I work with a lot of people who are bloggers, edubloggers, people who produce wikis, people who produce audio content, podcasts, and I go into these communities, and I talk to people, and the primary experience that they relate to me is that access to their resources is blocked, just simply blocked by the institutions that they're trying to serve. You know, I'm talking about blogging and having students produce their own educational resources because we know the value of that. We've actually understood the value of that. And I'm in Edson, we have to do a special setup because the default position in Edson is any weblog system is blocked. James Farmer in Australia, who now produces something called EduBlogs, it's a free educational blog for anybody who wants it. And again, access to his system is typically blocked, and his employers told him to cease and desist and stop talking about open resources and open source. And so it's these sorts of barriers that I allude to, where, you know, I think that more could be done to support the sustainability of open educational resources by removing the barriers, to stop trying to make sure that they're sustainable, and to just let this process happen, because I think the process is happening. I think we can see it. I think there's overwhelming abundance of evidence on the internet now, and the big problem is how to let it happen, how to let the producers produce, the consumers produce, the information to flow freely. Now, if we can get rid of those barriers, the money is a secondary issue, and that's basically what I came here to say. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Stephen. We had two contrasting presentations. And one issue is how far they're not just contrasting, but compatible or incompatible.
Can we talk, while we are doing this, can we talk about the incompatibility? Because I'm not sure. First of all, a couple of things. First is, I don't know how much Steve has seen the connection site and is familiar with our homers, and because I want to be clear about one thing, which is, regardless of the attempts to construe or misconstrue connections, we are as open education as anyone else. Okay, so we have no goals of commercializing connections into making money or any such nefarious goal. Okay, we don't have anything like this. So let me be clear about that. The second thing is, I'm not sure, although Steve is trying to characterize these two presentations as being incompatible, I talked about eBay communities, he talked about eBay communities. I talked about Wikipedia, he talked about Wikipedia. I talked about the value of building a user community and high quality content, he did. So I would like to know exactly what the incompatibility is.
Well, I mean, talking about the same thing,
doesn't
mean that we said the same thing about them.
So let's talk about the incompatibility. You're trying to characterize my presentation as being incompatible to open education and principles of open education. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, and just so you know, I am familiar with connections. In fact, I reviewed connections for Innovate or Technology Source. And so I've been throughout connections. And I mean, connections is a very typical initiative in many ways. And I'm not surprised that it developed the way it did. But, and allow me to express this cynically, it seems to me that the primary beneficiary of connections is connections. That the motivation is to promote connections.
But this is your opinion, right? I mean, this is based on our platform.
I don't want it to circulate all around connections, whether it's not in
actually, I do have an account on connections.
What we're getting here, what we want to have here is discussion more generally about
right,
the
technology
to which connections are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's
still the model.
There is an issue in Ford's presentation, which had the right. He drew very rightly on marketing Linux and drew the Linux model. Now, the problem for me with the rest of the presentation is you didn't say, we're building a great brand for Red Hat. You said Linux, the open source top level. Now, I think we have to decide if we're promoting open educational resources, and I come very much from a European perspective on this, if we can develop a collaborative infrastructure for open educational resources as a whole and minimize competition within that. I worry when I look at the North American scene that you're all basically running out the foundation funding and you're marketing your own brand. Your brand is not Linux, your brand is Red Hat. And your marketing essentially in, as you absolutely rightly said, scarce resources, you're marketing against each other.
Right.
Now, I think within a part of your promotion is precisely to say, look at my brand.
Right.
Now, we have a tradition within Europe, sort of, of public education and of collaboration. And I think there is an issue, and it doesn't work perfectly, right? And there's a lot of pressure on that system. But there is an issue for me with open education resources. I don't want to see it, at least in Europe, develop that we get big brand names marketing against each other. We need collaborative infrastructure working together. And I think it's how we develop our communities in that way. So this meeting has been, in that way, quite an eye-opener to me, because I see very, very stark differences, not between individual things, but it seems to me you have a different model in North America to what we're developing in Europe.
Mm. Right. Well, thanks.
Well, I did want to mention again, I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, just to alleviate this concern, that there's a very explicit attempt in the U.S. to get people, now whether people are doing it or not, there is an explicit attempt to get people to rally around this brand, OER as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Better than you sound like.
Yeah. But there is a danger in that.
Not
yes, that what I'm stressing is that community-based user as producer model. Well, yeah, because unless you adopt some kind of position like that, then yes, there are limited resources. And when there are limited resources, there is competition. And when there is competition, the marketers win. And that runs against the possibility of producing open educational resources, because it creates this mechanism, this infrastructure, this whole set of expenses that has nothing to do with the content, has nothing to do with learning. You know, I mean, and Connections is not unique. And I pick on Connections, and I do know Connections very well. I've spent a lot of time on that site. And it's not unique. But again, Connections is expressive of the idea that the marketing comes before. And to me, what it comes down to, and this is going to be really critical in the use and acceptance of these resources, is ownership. Now, I go to Connections. I have my own content, maybe, if I can get it out of the system, but it's their site. And you know, it's their thing, and it's not mine. It's not ours. It's theirs. They are the ones with the marketing. They're the ones with the brand, right? The OER brand. I have nothing to do with the OER brand. Because, and I know I'm blocking out, I'll be very brief. We looked at this. We looked at how people learn, particularly when they're in an environment where they work or where they live. And we found the first thing they do is ask someone they know. Right? And that's not a case of brand, right? It's the last resort where they go to Google or go something like that, or eBay even. That's the last resort. That's not the first resort.
I want to disagree, and maybe.
Well, we've measured it. That's one of the good things that people like. We had numbers. Okay, but now think about this. Doing a search on Google, you're not looking at the brands or the resources that are popping up. Google is basically a recommender system. It's a very massive one, but it's basically a recommender system.
But in those top 10 results, if I go down through there and I see a bunch of websites that I've never seen before, and then
I see.
what we want to sustain, in the sense that there will be different sustainability models for different things. So, and they will have disadvantages, advantages for the thing that you are doing. What we need to sustain is especially, let's say, the altering, the localization, the discovery. Those are the major things to have the complete system working. Now, for instance, for the altering, you might have a governmental thing. For discovery, you might have certain institutions. And for the localizations, you might have communities, which is the best fit. But you can't discuss that this in the void. You have to discuss it in the context of what you want to do.
Discovery.
Discovery and localization. Those are the most important things that you need to be able to sustain. And in addition, you might say you need to sustain a community approach, a certain moderation that you need to have if you want to follow a community sustainability model.
I think the problem is the present system doesn't sustain OER.
Yes.
But I think we've got to come back to this point of individuals and organisations and the community. But I guess this word being floated around, in fact, if you look somewhere on Etienne Wenger's homepage, his first page, he goes as far as saying, because he's obviously fed up with it, a website is not a community. And I think that needs saying and repeating 500 times over. A website is not a community.
Very
I am a member of many communities. We are all members of multiple communities. Now, big implications is individuals who produce open education resources, not institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a critical issue, as we found out with the survey, of course.
Fair enough.
And
very useful for Wenger to say the website. I would say his definition of what a community is remains beyond me.
I think his definition of community is very, very important, because he said a community is defined on the basis of practice, of actual practice. And identity comes on the point of that collective practice. So we identify with spaces where we have collective practices, and those will be all over the place and dispersed. So if we're producing educational material, we will tend to relate to the communities we are part of, not necessarily to institutional websites. That doesn't mean we're not happy to plonk it into an institutional repository, but we won't identify with the community in that direction. And that is really important.
I'm not. I mean, that misrepresents my position. I'm not saying
well,
one thing good, other thing bad.
That's not directed toward you.
Okay.
Some people are saying